We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Our own Derek Young caught up with new K-State commit Dylan Edwards. Hear what he had to say next.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or on our YouTube channel, all over social media, or our morning newsletter, KCSN Daily, dedicated to your Kansas City Chiefs. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
Welcome into another Fremont podcast. I am John Kurtz, joined as always by Derek Young from K-State Online, as well as Cole Manbeck, former beat writer for the Manhattan Mercury. And today, more football and basketball recruiting updates to get to you. I think all very exciting right now. K-State football is red hot, and that includes landing Dylan Edwards, who we talked about last time on an emergency pod. But today, you'll get a chance to hear from Dylan Edwards. Derek was in attendance at his commitment ceremony at Derby High School, and you'll get to hear about a very confident future cat and some of the work he may be doing on trying to bring some others with him. Plus basketball recruiting, where K-State stands with some big-time 2023 prospects. And we know about another grown you-know-what man that K-State is bringing into the program this year. As always, we appreciate the help of Holiday Distillery and 360 Vodka. If you're celebrating something, if you're drowning your sorrows, whatever it may be, if you're a Royals fan trying to stagger through the Royals season this year, you're going to need plenty of 360 Vodka or their new bourbon from Holiday Distillery that is out as well. Either way, use it to help cope. Use it to get excited about the Cats, whatever it is that you need. We appreciate the help of Holiday Distillery as always. Okay, so let me let you in on a little industry secret here, how the sausage is made. You saw how fast we got that pot out last time, right? This is where, you know, we need to take some time to brag about Derek here. You know, DY knew this whole time what was happening with Dylan Edwards. We just can't straight up tell you that all the time. So we had the pod ready to go and shoot out there as soon as the commitment was made. We did not actually know how that commitment was going to go at the time. And our concern about putting that pod out was like, hey, what if Dylan does something crazy? What if it's the Gavin Potter taking off two t-shirts thing? And then we missed that and we're not talking about that. But Cole, to the surprise of many, perhaps us, there were no theatrics at all from Dylan Edwards. It was pretty straightforward. Outside of maybe putting the Nebraska hat in the middle, that would be maybe the only thing that he like specifically wanted, the Nebraska hat in the middle. But, you know, he went for the K-State hat. There were nothing crazy. Nothing crazy happened there in his commitment.
I fully expected him to mess with us a little bit, especially because all the crystal balls started coming into K-State over the prior 24 to 48 hours. Everyone presumed he was coming to Manhattan at that point. So I thought, you know, he'd like to keep a little mystery around it and mess with K-State fans, put on their Nebraska or OU hat, throw it aside, like we see so many kids do. And I'll just say, I really appreciate that he didn't do that. I mean, I just loved how he got it out of the way right away. He might have been a little nervous, but he just threw on the K-State hat immediately, took all the drama out of it. And I really appreciate that.
Wouldn't it have been kind of awesome though, if, you know, he rips the, like just straight up like Hulk Hogan style, like rips the shirt off and it's, you know, goes from an Oklahoma shirt to like K-State painted on his chest. You wouldn't have, there would have been no appeal to that.
I don't want him doing anything similar to what Gavin Potter did. All right. So I would prefer to stay away from anything like that. I mean, I would have been fine with him, you know, tossing an OU or Nebraska hat or throwing a Nebraska hat in the trash. That would have been cool with me, but Yeah, I don't want to do any painting on the chest anymore. I've seen enough of that just with Gavin Potter.
I think the only buzzworthy observation to really make from the ceremony itself was the excitement from Leon Edwards and how he's turned into a GIF just from what was the statement? If you want to play some real football, come to K-State. So I think Leon's probably the one that probably generated the most conversation afterwards.
He did. That was great, man. I was saying big Leon energy. I need some big Leon energy in my life. And that was very cool to see that. I appreciated those. I think it was the K-State fan on Twitter. I apologize if I got his name wrong, but he tweeted out like some highlights of Leon Edwards from back in the day. That was a nice touch as well to connect all that together on one shining moment of a day for K-State fans. And sounds like there may be another one coming July 5th when Avery Johnson makes his decision as well. But I mentioned DY got a chance to catch up with Dylan Edwards. This is a very confident kid, especially for his age right now. So here, we'll give you a chance to hear from Dylan Edwards what he thinks about the commitment to K-State and perhaps most importantly at this point, what it is that he's trying to do to make this class even better.
Derek Young with the 3-Mile Podcast as part of the Kansas City Sports Network. We're at Dylan Edwards' commitment ceremony where he just picked Kansas State. As always, thanks to our partners with the 360 Vodka, but we're here with Dylan Edwards now. Dylan, what are your emotions at this point and having it behind you?
Ball game, that's all I got to say. I mean, it's been a long time coming, but I knew what was home when I first stepped on campus, and I had the best recruiting, you know, I could have, you know, experience I could have, and I'm glad to be home.
Now, you did commit to the staff before today. It was on your official visit, of course, when you were there with Coach Kleiman. But when did you actually know that it was going to be K-State? Has it been that way for a long time?
I mean, I was, you know, crystal ball to Oklahoma, and, I mean, they had a really good staff, and I had a really good time at those visits, but the reason I didn't commit is because I knew what was home. You know, I could become myself and do everything I want to do at K-State and stay home. So that's what I'm doing.
You did enjoy your process quite a bit. Is there any, like, 1, 2, 3 moments that really stick out that happened between you and the Wildcats that made you feel at home?
I mean, they were here all the time. I mean, I didn't get one day where I didn't get a phone call saying they were coming to my weight room, watching me lift or anything. So just stuff like that. I mean, you can't pass up. If they really want you, they're gonna show it, and they did.
You and your dad have been very, I guess you could call it, emo today, talking about building, you know, a great class, trying to add other guys to the picture. Just how successful do you think you'll be in doing so?
I think I'd be very successful in Manhattan. I mean, building my brand, building my, you know, I'm gonna be what I want to be in Manhattan. That's what I'm gonna do.
Is there a top recruiting pitch that really resonated with you?
No, there was nothing. I mean, I knew what was home, and that's why I made the decision today.
Obviously, you kind of prioritized Avery Johnson already in your first statements after you committed. Just how much is that going to be a part of your process moving forward?
He's coming. I'm gonna try to get him here, and if he doesn't come here, I know where his house is. So I'm gonna go get him. So, I'm joking, but yeah, I want him. I want him to be my quarterback. We're gonna run it back just like the old days.
What are some of your best relationships on the staff?
Sped, Brett, Coach B, BA, Coach DK, Coach Kleiman, Coach Malone. I created relationships with all those guys. Coach Riley. I mean, I created relationships with the whole staff. It wasn't just one person I committed to. I committed to the school also. I love the campus of K-State. I love Aggieville. I love everything about it, so I can't wait.
What's BA like? How would you describe him to the average fan that may not get to be around him the way that you do?
About the staff?
Brian Anderson, Coach Anderson.
Oh, we, you know, rolled in Manhattan, drop top, in a Mercedes-Benz the whole weekend. So I had a lot of fun with Coach. And I mean, he came here and he really poured into me and wanted me to, you know, be great at K-State, and that's what I'm going to do.
Coach Kleiman, just what are the conversations with him like? That's the head coach. How would you describe him to fans that don't get to be around him the way that you do?
More chill guy. He wants K-State to be great. And I don't think he just wants to go to a bowl game. That's not in his mind. He wants to go to the national championship. And, I mean, whatever it takes to get there, that's what he'll do. But, yeah, that's what he is.
How would you characterize the evolution of the offense under Colin Klein? He's the new offensive coordinator. We know that that's made a large impact on Avery. How much of an impact did it make on you?
Yeah, that LSU game, you knew. I mean, he was that guy at, you know, OC. I think he's been waiting for it for a while, and that he has the reins, we're going to be winning a lot of games, and we're going to be scoring a lot of points, and that's what I can't wait to see.
Was there anything that stood out about it when you saw it in the spring ball? Because I'm sure it was probably even more evolved at that point.
Yes, when I went to the practice, it was much so, you know, saying everything, and he broke everything down. You know, they're, you know, protecting Deuce, so, I mean, they didn't have a spring game, but next year we will, hopefully.
Yeah. Your dad is pretty, you know, emotional and all over the place right now. Is he that way always, or is today just a little bit special for him?
It's a little bit special. From the beginning, I think my dad wanted me to go here, so...
What was his response, his reaction when you told him that you were going?
Oh, him and Coach Kleiman started, you know, shedding.
Oh, he found out at the same time?
Yeah. So I did not tell nobody until that day. So.
And how'd you go about telling the other programs? Was that soon after?
Yeah, it was definitely soon after. I called each coach that I was interested in, and they understood. They told me I didn't sign a piece of paper till December, but I'm locked in.
Are those conversations hard? Just because I never really asked a prospect about that, when you have to tell a coach, hey, I'm not going to where you – because you've talked to them every day too.
I mean, they understood. I mean, they knew. I mean, right when I went to the official to Manhattan, they were like, well, they knew what the, you know, K-State was going to do on my official. And I got them there, and they understood. There was no bad blood or anything. I had great relationships, and they told me I was going to keep the same relationship to this day.
The Under Armour All-American game, is that something you're really excited about as well?
Yeah. First K-State guy in Under Armour All-American game, that's history.
Yeah.
And I'm making history already, not even at K-State yet.
Okay. And then who else? You spoke about Avery Johnson. Who else? Is there anyone else on your radar?
I want to flip Jaden Doss. Okay. I want to get Jelani. I want to get Jaden. Doss, like I said, I want to get a whole bunch of other recruits. I just think Josh Manning, I think we can get a whole bunch of recruits and we can have fun while doing it. I mean, we're all good friends and we know each other, so it's going to be a great thing.
Have you been communicating with them already?
Yeah, we already got it planned out. I hope, you know, Avery and Josh pull the trigger very, very soon, because it's going to be something special.
This class
in K-State history.
All right, you heard him. That's a good note to close on. That's Dylan Edwards, the newest Kansas State commit.
All right, so there's Dylan Edwards. Appreciate him taking some time with Derek to chat right after his commitment at the ceremony at Derby High School. I think the thing that will be of most note to fans there is hearing him talk about, like, trying to work on some others here in this class. And I know one of the easy places to go with that would be like, hey, can you get Joe Otting to back out of that Notre Dame commitment, which is probably going to be very difficult, but that is the immediate one that jumps in my mind. Like, hey, let's flip this whole thing. Let's get all these top guys in the state. Where do you feel like things stand with Dylan Edwards trying to work on kids right now? He's done some of it publicly, but I would imagine there's more of that going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, and Joe Otting, he's done publicly, and he was one of the four players he mentioned to me, as the listeners just heard, and so was Nebraska commit Jaden Doss, and then Avery Johnson and Joshua Manning. I think Johnson and Manning were probably clearly the obvious ones. Flipping Doss from Nebraska or Otting from Notre Dame is probably – very improbable at this point, especially Doss. I don't know that needle's going to be moved, and they may have, you know, been leaning towards different wide receivers now anyway, between, you know, Joshua Manning and then the Jacoby Lane here from Arizona, and how that's kind of surged to the surface all of a sudden as well. But Otting, I mean, that's the dream school. I mean, Kansas State gave it a fight. Might be more likely than Doss, but that doesn't mean it's likely at all. And I would give that, you know, probably still less than 1% chance. I just don't see it happening. But Edwards is a well-known figure. We've spoke about this before. He's well-known on recruiting circles. He knows a lot of good prospects, and he'll have an impact one way or another, even if it's not with Joe Otting. I mean, it's probably already happening with Avery, I imagine. Good players want to play with good players, but Avery was probably leaning towards Kansas State and coming to Kansas State regardless of what Dylan chose to do. So it'll be interesting if there's a prospect that he's directly responsible for. But right now I'm struggling to come up with one, but just him being the cheerleader and putting Kansas State in front of everyone's faces is good enough.
Well, what about Manning? I mean, how likely is it that Manning's going to wind up coming here?
That, I mean, I think that's probably, I won't say if Avery Johnson commits to Kansas State that it's automatic that Manning does, but you're probably not going to get him without Avery Johnson. So that's the way I would phrase it. So there's a little bit of a, it's probably your chances with him are contingent upon what Avery decides to do. And just in general, I think receivers like to know who their quarterback is going to be, not necessarily the specific one, but at least one that is, you know, that they know has some chops.
Well, and Avery Johnson is going to decide on July 5th. We now know that. So you have at least a timeline there for the commitment date. He's, as we speak, recording this on Wednesday. He is at the Elite 11 camp going on right now with one of the 20 quarterbacks that was invited there. So I don't think it's surprising to see that the date wound up being July 5th officially. If you've been listening here on the pod, if you've been following KSO, it's really where Derek has been leading you for a long time, that was likely what was going to happen. So it will require some patience. But circle that one on your calendars, because that could be really fun. I guess I would just open it up to thoughts here on one, Avery committing at Elite 11 or competing rather at Elite 11. And then two, setting that commitment date for July 5th and where K-State stands.
Yeah. I mean, we're less than a week away from his decision. I still feel very confident it'll be K-State. There's a chance that there's not a whole lot of drama to it. It'll depend on other announcements, but Oregon is viewed as the overwhelming favorite for Dante Moore at this point. And Washington just hosted Lincoln Kindholz, who had a Kansas State offer on the last official visit weekend until September. So it'll be interesting if those two close on those before Avery decides. It might be a foregone conclusion, which it probably already is to some degree. I think I saw the Elite 11's social media accounts put out on, was it Tuesday night? Because we're recording this on Wednesday, that I think Avery was in seventh after day one. So tracking to be in the Elite 11. There's 20 participants, I believe. So, and everyone's like, why is there 20 participants in Elite 11? I mean, it's the final, so it's to determine who the Elite 11 are. So I mean, Avery's in that top 11 right now, so that's a good start for him. I hate to even bring it up, but the Iowa State quarterback commit is number one after day one, JJ Cole.
Oh well, great, we can start another overrated Iowa State quarterback through a career for the next 4 years. That'd be awesome. I saw that Brock Purdy got the Big 12 Sportsmanship Award.
Yeah,
he'll be the next. What a legacy. What a legacy to leave if you are Brock Purdy. You won the Big 12 Sportsmanship Award. How could you and it's so in line. Iowa State, they care. They don't care about winning championships. They care about sportsmanship and everything. We heard that from Matt Campbell. So, I mean, it seems like this kid is destined to be number one on the sportsmanship list. So, congratulations to him. That would be my sincere thoughts to offer to – what's his name? Whoever he is.
JJ Cole.
Yep. He's a 6'6", 230-pound quarterback, John. And maybe Iowa State will hang it next to that banner of most together team in America that they've
That's what it was.
They'll be flying that flag at Jack Trice Stadium this next season. So, hey, on the Avery Johnson recruitment, obviously DY has alluded to the fact that K-State's been the front runner for a while, if you guys have been listening to this pod. And, you know, he kind of gave it away. You know, now you got to take media interviews with a grain of salt. These kids sometimes can mess with you. I don't think Avery Johnson's doing this, but in a story from 24/7 Sports at the Elite 11 that was published last night, he was asked about his top three finalists in K-State, Washington, and Oregon, and about his recruitment overall and what he was looking for. And I quote, Avery Johnson said, "A lot of people tell you go where you're wanted the most. That was big to me with this process." He then is asked about the top three schools and his finalists. And regarding Kansas State, "I really love the coaching staff, Coach Klein, Coach Ward. I can go down the list. I enjoyed being around them, close to home. They wanted me the most out of the three schools." So if you connect the dots to where he says what was really big to him is go where you're wanted the most, and then he acknowledges that Kansas State wanted him the most, you can kind of jump to the conclusion there that it's likely Kansas State's going to be the choice, which DY has said all along, but, take some hints there, K-State fans. There could be a lot of positive news coming in less than a week. So it would be a huge get, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that says it kind of right there. Like you said, that he's just pointing out that Kansas State was basically the school that matched all of his criteria.
And then, you know, connect another dot that he showed up to Dylan Edwards' commitment ceremony. Yeah, that obviously, I think, means something. I'm sure he was pretty aware of what the commitment was going to be.
And they both went to the Catbacker event in Wichita, which I thought was probably the most powerful thing. I mean, that's not the most entertaining thing to go to if you're 16, 17 years old. So
No, it's not. No, it is not. Very valid point there. So, yes, all signs good on that front. And then, I mean, hearing you say that Josh Manning may soon follow after an Avery Johnson commitment, that is awesome to hear, too. Like, as many dominoes seem to be falling right now, there could be more and better dominoes that start to fall in place after that. I mean, look at – I know this is on a much grander scale, but look at what's happened with Texas and Arch Manning. I mean, Arch Manning commits, and then it seems like every day I hop on Twitter and I see people to the point where they're making jokes. I saw Josh Pate making a joke the other day about, like, just every time he logs on Twitter, there's a new Texas commitment that everybody is following and wanting to play with Arch Manning. So there would figure to be at least somewhat of that effect with Avery Johnson, I would think.
I would anticipate that to some degree. But that'll be a big week in general because we said Avery makes his announcement on July 5th, but running back Joe Jackson will make his announcement the day before on July 4th. And then Donovan McIntosh, a very long corner from St. Louis that they really, really like as well, and just had it on an official visit. He makes his decision, that'll be Friday, July 1st. So that first week of July is already having some it could be jam-packed. And they just picked up two commitments already, but that would have been on Tuesday.
Yeah, before we get into that, D.Y. and Cole, question of the day here. Who has the better career, Arch Manning or Avery Johnson?
Arch Manning.
More Big 12 championship game appearances, Avery Johnson or Arch Manning?
Avery. I don't know, because I think Arch might sit 1 year, because I don't think that family would take that as a slight. I think that's one prospect where you can say, hey, you're going to sit a year, even if he probably doesn't need to. And he'd be like, okay, you know, I mean, I guess you just put everyone in the Manning family in the same box.
Well, if you're saying Big 12 championships, John, they're leaving and after the 2024 season, right? Yeah. Right. So I'm going to take the easy one out.
Conference championships.
That's what that's why I would pick Avery for that. Because I think Texas is actually going to leave after the 2023 season. That's my guess.
Well, conference championships, Texas isn't winning the SEC, right? So they're never going to win an SEC title or a Big 12 title with Arch Manning, in my opinion. So I'll take Avery there. I mean, better career in terms of NFL, I'd probably take Arch Manning just because of the pedigree. But yeah.
It feels like a Manning is not going to be a bust, right? He's going to live up to that.
I don't know, man. That's like I'm trying to, you know, they always say like unstoppable force, immovable object, whatever. I mean, it's like the Mannings are like an unstoppable force. Texas football being mediocre is an immovable object. So happens there?
But Ole Miss wasn't great and Eli was still good. You could do both.
Okay. Congratulations, Texas. You're now Ole Miss. Congratulations on that. Headed into the SEC. You are Ole Miss. Something to be proud of.
I have called Oklahoma, I think, basically Tennessee or Auburn, and when they go to the SEC, because I think they're just like fifth or sixth on the rung at that point.
Which would definitely make Texas Ole Miss. It absolutely would. You know, and hey, Texas basically has Diet Lane Kiffin as their head coach. So that all works out. You know, a lesser guy who went through the Alabama rehabilitation program. So congratulations.
And the Pac-12 rebuild. got muddied in the Pac-12.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all perfect. Okay. Let's talk about the commits, because I know Cole's really excited to talk about these commits that K-State has gotten over the last couple days. We'll start with, I forgot to write down how to pronounce his name, Derek. You're going to have to help me out here.
Kenigel Thomas.
All right. Kenigel Thomas is a three-star corner from Oklahoma. He had offers from Kansas, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and K-State winds up getting a commitment from him. I mean, look, these are the types, we've said it before, but these are the types of recruitments we would be ecstatic about and really excited about in years past in Chris Klieman's classes. Now they're treated as more of an afterthought because you have the Dylan Edwards, Josh Mannings, Avery Johnsons of the world to pay attention to, and and think about it, are actually landing them. But man, I mean, you just start to put together the list of school. This is what stands out to me about it. It's just another win over some of your regional rival schools here. And I mean, if we're talking about Texas Tech, that's a school that's been recruiting as hot as anybody. They've been spending time in the top five nationally right now with how they're landing kids. So I don't take it lightly that K-State's able to go grab them.
Yeah, well, it's Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, and Kansas. I know KU was on him up to the point that he committed. I'm not sure about the others.
Okay.
Just could have been a case, too, where, you know, June is a big month for commitments. They could have just filled up with guys that they had equal on their board, not necessarily that they didn't want them. So this is a guy that I can't fault them for taking. They also saw him up close in person. He was at camp last Sunday night and he was really good. They couldn't complete a ball on him. And he could really run. That's a fast dude. He's got the track times. I tell you what, the comparison for me that kind of at least jumps out to me right away is a guy that hasn't played any football yet for Kansas State, but they also think is going to be really special and just had a great track season. That's Jacob Parrish from Olathe North. And the term multi-year starter is already thrown around about Jacob Parrish. That's how much they like him. And I think Nigel Thomas is basically in that same vein. I mean, he's a very, very similar athlete. He isn't, you know, the big, tall, long 6'2", 6'3" corner. Like some of the guys they have on the roster, like Julius Brent, so like they may land on Friday, and Donovan McIntosh, but he's, you know, kind of in between. He's similar to Echo, a little, just an inch shorter, so he's not like completely small, but that's why he kind of makes me think of Jacob Parrish, because Jacob Parrish is built similarly. I hate that word.
I think those are great comps, D.Y. I like the Echo comparison as well. When you look at the size and the speed factor, I think he ran a 21.8 200 meter in track, which is elite speed. Jacob Parrish was a little faster than that. I think Parrish was at 21.6. So, I mean, you're getting track type speed here. These guys can really run and get after it. And he was a camp offer, right? So how do you feel if you're KU and you've been recruiting him for months, and then Kansas State offers just a couple days ago after camp, and he immediately commits? I mean, it speaks volumes, right?
I had that comment said to me about that too. It's like, man, KU, that has to sting, because they've been investing time and time and time into this kid, and you know, maybe outlast everyone. K-State gets him on camp, offer him, and kind of what it was explained to me is like it took him 10 seconds to commit. He basically, because he was offered during the camp, like he was in the middle of taking reps, they pull him aside. Chris Kleiman offers him, and I think he committed to K-State before he got back in line. That's the way it was told to me.
Awesome. Well, you love that, man. I tell you what, though, I was reading. This is a shout out to the KSO boards. You know, somebody brought to my attention a thread on Fog.net. You know, one of the outstanding Kansas internet fan sites, where they were discussing how they're just getting their rear ends kicked in state and by K-State in general recruiting wise, D.Y. But what I heard is, once they win a few games, then the brand of Kansas will carry over, and you know, everything's going to be fine there at that point, even though they're about to go 0 for the top 15 in state.
So, yeah.
I know this isn't in state, but you know, I'm just telling you, we're K-State guys, we're homers. When you present the other side, this is not going to be an echo chamber. Kansas is coming, and Lance Leipold is clearly displaying the recruiting prowess that helped him recruit so much talent to Buffalo, New York. So I'm just saying, maybe we shouldn't be celebrating as much as we are right now.
I guess I'll say this. I'm a little stunned and maybe impressed to an extent that a fan base can be so optimistic still after like 10 to 12, or no, let's say 15 of the worst like years of like a power five or some of the worst years of a power five program ever, where you're winning two games at most and most often 0-1, you get your ass kicked every week, and you still have optimistic about a coach that has never won a conference championship.
Well, you got ESPN.
Not only that, optimistic about the brand still after all that, and optimistic about landing in the Big Ten, like one of the two premier conferences now. I mean, I tell you what, man, they got optimism coming out their ass.
They're dedicated.
Like it's crazy.
They're dedicated to the whatever it is that they're doing, because I couldn't do it.
It's Sorry, Cole, I cut you off.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, you got ESPN writing ridiculous articles about emulating Bill Snyder and what he did. I mean, come on. Yeah, well, you can't even mention Bill Snyder's name in the same breath as Lance Leipold. That's a ridiculous comp at what Lance Leipold's accomplished so far. And I saw they were trying to defend that it was, didn't write the headlines, but it also makes the comparison in the actual article. I mean, the people have to pump the brakes here.
Well, I like Bill Connolly a lot, and he is somebody like he does respect K-State. He respects the Big 12. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the reason that article got written. He's a Mizzou guy. And so I remember talking to him last summer when Texas and Oklahoma left, and he had a lot of empathy, sympathy for the Big 12 schools because that's what he grew up with. He has a really good knowledge of even like, you know, I've talked to him about like 1998 K-State Missouri before. Like, so I respect him a lot, but yeah, the premise of the article, like I saw some KSU fan said like, hey, maybe like Dan McCartney, like start out with like a Dan McCartney comparison, something like that. That would be much better. I think the big picture here is like people are just so excited that Kansas has somebody who's not a total boob as their coach. Like,
yeah, low just, bar.
Yes, like somebody who is a competent football coach that he has been elevated so much that it's crazy. And I do think that there's an overcorrection on Kansas right now. Another thing I saw the other day, Cole, I saw someone talking about like sleeper tier one quarterbacks in college football, and they mentioned Jaden Daniels at Kansas.
Jalen Daniels?
Jalen Daniels. And no, I mean, look, again, after dreadful quarterback play for like two decades, I understand why he looks that much better. But like, really, we're going to talk about him with the potential to be a tier one quarterback this year? There's such an overcorrection on Kansas right now. I think they're getting ahead of themselves.
Yeah. I mean, tier one's jumping the shark. For sure. He flashed, but that's really jumping the shark. I mean, I would say tier one, but those are like NFL draft guys that you would think, right? That's how I would view it. I don't think we know enough about him.
Cole, you're not a big Jalen Daniels fan?
I just say it's small sample size from what we saw at the end of last year when he really turned it on. So, like, I still have memories of him throwing a pass Justin directly Gardner. To Justin Gardner for pick six.
That was the worst pass I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, so I know he was like – I know he's a really young kid, right? He was like 18 in that game, right? That's all true. So, look, I think he can be a good quarterback. But this all gets back to what you said, John. The fact that they just simply now have a competent head coach, the overreaction to that is, Kansas can become an 8-9 win team eventually here. Leipold's really going to get it going. To me, getting it going at Kansas will be 4 wins to a maximum of 6 wins, maybe by year 3 or 4. You know, maybe he gets them to bowl eligibility. I don't even know if he can do that. They're not recruiting well enough, and his personality doesn't really strike me as someone that's going to recruit all that well, but you know, his assistants may be better recruiters.
Runs a better program, has him more prepared, but I don't know. I think he's a worse recruiter than David Beatty and Charlie Weiss, or David Beatty and Les Miles. Charlie Weiss and Les Miles became like the same person to me over time.
Yeah, I can see why. Yeah. All right. Well, it was fun to talk a little like more actual football. We're kind of getting there here in the summer. I had to shoehorn some of that in here into the recruiting talk, so I hope everyone doesn't mind. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into basketball recruiting. K-State does now. We know another member of the squad now that's a transfer. We also are waiting on another because we got to bring on the Cats announcement yesterday from Jerome Tang. And where does K-State sit with Layden Blocker, Day-Day Ames, a couple of high profile prospects in the 2023 class. We'll get to all that coming up next.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, we are back. Now we dive into basketball on the 3 Mob podcast. K-State has lost out on one kid basketball recruiting-wise. We'll start with the bad news and then get into some of the good news here and what is going on. Layden Blocker committed to Arkansas. That was another one that I think if you've been paying attention, he's a 2023 kid, four-star recruit. K-State, Kansas, and Arkansas, I guess you could consider the finalists there. Derek, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but Arkansas seemed to be the pick for a while, unfortunately, even though K-State got a visit and was in there with him. He is going to be a Razorback, and Arkansas is just frankly recruiting very well right now, and they have things really up and running.
Yeah, I mean, I think Arkansas is going to be number one or number two preseason in the country for this upcoming basketball season. So they're loaded. They're going to stay loaded. Eric Musselman, he knows what he's doing. I think he's got a lot of resources at his disposal, and they got the win. And that's in recruiting. I don't know, maybe besides like Duke and Kentucky, of course, I don't know that there's a team tougher to beat on the recruiting trail right now than Arkansas. They get just about everyone that they want, high school and transfer portal. I think they got a humming.
That NIL money sure helps that they got at their disposal.
Yeah, so. I'm sure. I mean, I guess I'll put this in a Kansas State centric thing still. I do think that they had Day-Day Ames also on an official visit, the four-star guard out of Chicago. You know, still don't hear a lot of other schools associated with him either. So I still have, you know, a guarded confidence level that that'll go their way.
Yeah, I mean, do we have any expectation for when a decision is coming from Ames?
No, I think Cole said he was in Cabo. You just stalking out his Instagram.
That's right. Hey. Cole is a complete sleuth when it comes to Instagram accounts of players. A guy who doesn't even use Instagram for himself. You know, I mean, I got a Snapchat Cole to ever get a hold of him, but he's on Instagram all the time looking at these kids. And so, yeah, he gave us the update that Day-Day Ames was in Cabo. So probably not making a commitment.
I've become kind of that. I never was on Instagram. I was never on Instagram until Jerome Tang and staff came in. And then now I'm out there stalking. I'll just be transparent. All right. I look at the coaches' followers every day. And if I see a number added to their follower count, I then track and look through to see who knew they followed. Hey, I texted you guys Desi Sills on a Friday night at 11 o'clock that you at Malagi followed Desi Sills. All right. And then Desi Sills committed 3 days later. All right. So that's how we knew they were on him.
I think of the, you know, that meme that goes around where it's like a husband and wife or, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, like laying in bed and the girl's like laid over on one side and there's like a little bubble there that's like, he's probably on Instagram looking at half naked girls. And then like the other side will be Cole rolled over like on his phone and it's just like, oh man, look at who Malagi just followed. That is exactly how I picture this going right now.
That is totally me. I mean, you guys got a text from me late last night about another recent follow that occurred probably at like 11:30 last night. I'm sitting there watching the Elizabeth Holmes documentary on Netflix. My wife got me hooked on, which I never even watch Netflix usually either. And I'm sitting there and I see this follow and I text you guys and, you know, this is my life now. I mean, it's my new hobby. It's my new hobby. Yeah. My wife, she sees me instead of looking at girls on Instagram. She sees me looking at where 18-year-old kids are visiting in Cabo, right? So it's a real great look for me.
There is a – I know it kind of already broke, but now it's official. Kind of just wanted to bark in here. Big 12 has hired their new commissioner in Brett Yormark.
There we go. Oh, man. I love this.
The Rock Nation executive, yep.
Yeah. You know, I guess shameless plug here. You can watch my personal YouTube channel. I'll have more on this coming up tonight. But yeah, man, the fact that they're taking a guy from Rock Nation outside of the traditional college athletics world, there's a K-State tie-in here because Gene Taylor had publicly said at the Cat-Packer event and just things that I think we all had kind of heard behind the scenes, but that like K-State was thinking, hey, go get somebody with college athletic experience because I would guess they're not looking too fondly on George Kliavkov of the Pac-12, who was hired from the MGM Grand in Vegas outside of the college athletics world. Kevin Warren was a practicing lawyer, attorney when they hired him. So they kind of went outside the box there, but like, man, we are not in the same college athletics world that anybody who's had a career in it has experienced. Like it's time for new ideas and something new and fresh and exciting. And everything I read about this guy is that he's an ass kicker and is great and has worked with, you know, more like entertainment industry stuff. I don't know. He knows how to make an entertaining product. And I think if he can connect with TV execs, like I love it. And how about the Big 12 doing something progressive and cool? Both of those being accomplished at the same time with this. Rock Nation, Jay-Z's record label, right? So that's why you're seeing all the Jay-Z, hey, I got 99 problems, a commission ain't one, all that stuff. It's a cool, exciting new move. I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Yeah, he seems to be about innovation. And like you said, I don't know why you would value college experience, you know, anymore in this landscape.
Because then you're just going to be dragging things back behind.
Yeah, college athletics today is not college athletics even 3 years ago. So college experience doesn't really help you a ton. Maybe it does when negotiating a television deal. I can see where it maybe comes into play there. And I think that was probably Kansas State's angle and on their preference. But aside from that, I just don't know how valuable college experience really is anymore. This guy's been on the brink of innovation and many of the things that he's done, you know, whether it's managing NASCAR, the Brooklyn Nets, Rock Nation. And with Rock Nation, you know, they had to go through, you know, I did some research. They had to go through this, you know, phase where during COVID, just like everyone else, and wondering how they get their artists in front of people and how to, you know, still make a profit, still bring in revenue. And they had to be innovative with new media to do that, right? Because you couldn't do it in person. And I think that's kind of, you know, the right traffic lane for the commissioner spot in the Big 12 at this point, because you're going to have to be innovation with new forms of revenue and new media.
Agreed. Yeah. You know, listen to some Jay-Z now, Cole? Can we get you? You got Wale. Can we get you to listen to some Jay-Z?
I think I know a little Jay-Z. I can't name the songs off the top of my head, but I think I'd know it if it came on. So is it New York State of Mind? Is that Jay-Z? See, look at me. Look, innovative outside the box hire. Really like it. I think to what DY said, I think K-State was a little concerned about having someone with negotiating TV deals experience background in that. But I think your mark will take the Big 12 toward a streaming environment. Potentially, I think he's innovative enough that they'll think of something. And I feel very confident that he'll take them down the right road with this. I think it's a great hire.
Okay. This is the part that I've been dreading, because as we get back into basketball here to close things down, this is a tough name for me to pronounce. All right. Another very tough name. The good basketball team, you're going to have to get out that pronunciation guide. It's going to put Tom Gilbert to work making that pronunciation guide this year. But K-State did get a rebounding machine that we know about.
Abayami Aiola. Hey, whatever it is. Great, you know, guy that can really protect the rim, play some defense, a rebounding machine. His best games are against the best teams on the schedule, especially this last year when he was playing for, that escapes me, Hofstra. He had 18 and 14 against Arkansas, if I remember, an Elite Eight team. He had 11 rebounds against Houston, if I remember correctly, an Elite Eight team. So I think Cole even mentioned to us when he was still at Stetson in year two, he had like a double figure scoring game against Duke, I want to say. So this guy just really shows up when the lights are brightest as well. And it's a good fit. I like that they took him as the second center rather than Alex Chakwu from Alabama, because I think Alex Chakwu is kind of repetitive to Jarrell Colbert. I think you're looking at two project bigs that maybe needed some time in the oven to bake and to develop a little bit at Kansas State. If you had both, now Jarrell Colbert, he can still develop, but they got a guy that can really come in and contribute, and he's a grown-ass man that can play right away and has proven production at the Division I level.
Yeah, he's 24 years old. He's going to turn 25 during the season, actually. So as we talk about, he is a grown-ass man that's been through it, and he is a rebounding machine. This is a perfect addition for K-State, whether he comes off the bench or if he starts over Jarrell Colbert. He's a guy with great experience. You know, you look at some of his numbers, he's been a top 100 rebounder on the offensive and defensive side of the floor and the advanced analytic metrics across the country. So you get a top 100 rebounder. Last year, he had an offensive rebounding percentage of 17.3%. That was the third best O rebounding percentage in the entire country. You know, he's averaged over 7 rebounds a game throughout most of his career. DY mentioned some of the big numbers that he put up in big games, 18 and 14 against Arkansas. He had 11 rebounds against a very good Houston team. You look at the game against Duke where he had 19 points. He had high efficiency performances in that game. In fact, if you look at his offensive ratings in that game, anything over 100 is good. He had 120 O rating against Houston, 122 O rating against Arkansas, and 119 O rating against Duke in 2019. So he has performed well on the big stage against big time opponents. And if you look at his offensive rating last year, he had a 134 offensive rating, which tied for fifth best in the entire country. So a very efficient player. He's shot over 52% in his career. He's a 72% career free throw shooter. In fact, speaking of Instagram, I saw on his Instagram story, he's out there popping threes today, working out, draining threes. I mean, this is a guy that's got a nice looking shot too. He'll play around the basket and he's going to get after it on the boards. And that's something I think this K-State team is going to rebound the heck out of the basketball when you look at the roster that they built.
Yeah. Was the free throw percentage for big? It's like in the 70s, right?
Yeah, 72. Yeah, it's real good.
Stroke it.
So, I mean, the roster as a whole, long, athletic, would seem to be defense and rebounding, which if you are trying to just break in that first year, I mean, we've talked so much about Iowa State and what they were able to do. I mean, their path was basically be a team that can defend, rebound, and not score a whole lot, and it was able to get them a high enough finish to make the NCAA tournament in the league. And then once they got in the tournament, they got a really nice break and set up a Sweet 16 run. So strategy if you're trying to just, you know, milk whatever you can out of next year before you can really get more skill in your program offensively.
Yeah. And they're going to be really deep too, much better bench than they had a season ago. I'm stealing this from someone because they asked me this too. Remember this time last year, what you thought of Iowa State? Just try to remember what your actual thoughts were on the Iowa State roster at this day last year. And now think about the one that Kansas State has now. Which one would you take? And technically, you'd probably take Kansas State because I don't think anyone knew this time last year that Iowa State's roster would be able to produce what they ultimately did.
Now, do they have someone who turns into a total stud like Iowa State did? I mean, that'll be the question. But they're giving themselves plenty of lottery tickets, you know, for that to be the case. Well, are we up to 10 scholarship players now? 10?
Probably 11. There is a commit outstanding right now after the Jerome Tang commit alert. We think it'll be another instant impact transfer. Pretty sure about that. Actually, just not announced yet. And it's another guy that gives you a chance to compete next year.
Love it. All right. Things moving in the right direction for a big prospect in 2023 in Day-Day Ames. Things moving in the right direction with the current roster. A lot of good things happening in the world of K-State sports right now, football and basketball, and a new Big 12 commissioner. How about that? Fun pod today. It's going to wrap it up for us. Once again, always appreciate 360 Vodka from Holiday Distillery. Check out their Bottle and Bond Bourbon as well. If bourbon is more your speed, but they do great work supporting us here on the podcast, and we sincerely appreciate it. For Tucker Franklin behind the scenes, for Derek Young and Cole Manbeck, I'm John Kurtz. Thanks for tuning into the Fremont Pod today.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.